Tell them how excited you are to see them here at Word of Life Church this morning. Amen. And you can be seated. I tell you what, you're a good-looking group for a time change Sunday. You know, you wonder how many people are going to remember. It's good to see you guys. And you don't seem sluggish at all. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Maybe I need to clean my glasses, but you don't seem sluggish at all. So we are certainly pleased and delighted to have you here with us. And as we have already stated this morning, our goal is to lead you into a deeper level of love and devotion for Jesus. Amen. Amen. He loves you so very much. And friends, I'm telling you that if you can just find a way to move your life closer to Him, you're going to see not only Him draw near to you, but a whole bunch of other good stuff as well. Amen. Open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. On the screens, if you can go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3 in the Amplified. On the screens, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 in the Amplified. In our Bibles, we're going to 1 Kings chapter 18. While you're turning, I do want to say this. We will not be having church this Wednesday night. For the purpose of a remodel, we're doing a spring clean. And so with that, some walls are getting repainted. We've got a couple of surprises that we're going to bring out. And you'll have to come back next Sunday and maybe find Where's Waldo? You remember that game, Where's Waldo? You got to find the little guy in the striped shirt. Maybe find the little subtle changes. Some of them you'll notice right when you walk in. I think there'll be big changes. But then others will be small, subtle changes. And so be looking for that and be excited about it. So, but no church this Wednesday night because we're going to have construction crews all in here all week. We want to get it done in a week. And so, in fact, even today, we're having some construction crews start. So with that, just be excited to come next Sunday, even more incentive to come. And I also want to say a big, amazing God bless you and thank you to all the tithing members here at Word of Life. You know, it's always been my dream as a pastor to have a church that is devoted to God to such an extent that it leads to them tithing and giving without having to be manipulated into it and without having to be forced into it or arm twisted into it, and to see the liberal generosity that you all are living with is absolutely wonderful, inspiring to me as a pastor to keep doing what we do, because really the Bible teaches us that where your treasure is, there your heart is too. And to see you all put your treasure in God, in His church, without being forced to, tells me that you have a heart for Him. And as a pastor, that's what I want. More than anything else, I want to see you deeply devoted to God because I know where that leads. So I just want to say how what a blessing it is to be a pastor of a church that tithes because they love God, and we don't have to do big fundraisers or big ad campaigns or things like that to try to boost tithes and offerings. You guys just do it out of a heart for God, and that's absolutely amazing. We're going to continue this morning talking on the subject of prayer. And I got to tell you what, I am excited about this because I pray that it leads to you expressing your voice to God more. And I know where that can take you, where that will lead you to. Have you ever had a time in your life where you just could not wait to hear from someone? Have you ever had that happen to you? About 2 weeks ago now, it's hard to believe, but we were having our son, our third child, second son, baby Ben, Benjamin is his name. And when my wife went into labor, you know, I texted everyone, my family and some of the staff, and told them, you know, we're going into labor. It's a team effort. And so we went to the hospital and all those kinds of good things. And it took a while for me to get back to my phone and to tell people what was going on. On this third child, I realized why they call it labor, because it is work. I saw it. This is work. And so anyway, it was taking a little bit of time. And I finally went over to my phone a couple hours later. I mean, it was strings of texts from all these different people. What's happening? What's going on? Is everything okay? Because everyone was waiting for that call. Everyone was waiting for that text saying that he was there. And maybe you've had a time like that in your life. I know my wife had that with me after our first date, nervously anticipating my call, asking her to go on another. Maybe you've had something like that happen in your life. Maybe it was you applied for a job and you were waiting by that phone, hoping that you would get the call back saying to come in for the second interview, or calling to say you got the job, whatever it may be. But I think all of us can relate to that in some way, that we know what it's like to be waiting on someone to call, to express themselves to us. And God is the same way. He looks for you every day to lift up your voice unto him. He looks for it every day. And this past week, I was reading out of my wife's Bible. I felt like reading out of the Amplified, and she has an Amplified Bible that she reads out of every day. So I went and grabbed it and started marking in it and writing my own notes, which she doesn't like because that's her Bible. And so anyway, so I'm writing in it and all that because I'm getting so much. And I went to 1 John. I try to read 1 John a good bit because 1 John really keeps you balanced in the subject that matters most to God, and that is love. And I saw this out in the Amplified in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. I thought it was so profound. It says, what we have seen, this is John talking to people, what we have seen and ourselves heard, we are also telling you so that you may realize and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. And this fellowship that we have, now this is the part that stood out to me, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now I love that. Notice that as a Christian, there should be distinguishing marks about you. You know, have you ever seen a pair of twins, but you were able to tell the two apart because they had distinguishing marks? With us as Christians, there should be distinguishing marks about us all. That even if you didn't know me very well, you could look at me and say, now that's a Christian. Now that's a Christian. Love is one of those marks. Joy, it's one of those marks. Peace, it's one of those marks. But also our fellowship with the Father is a distinguishing mark, an outward expression as to the health of our spiritual life. Our fellowship with the Father is an outward expression of our spiritual health. If there is not a strong fellowship with Him, you communing with God in prayer, then it's a sign of something going on inwardly. It's a sign of spiritual health that maybe needs to be checked up on. God desires all of us to not have a prayer time, but a prayer life. That you and I are to be living a life of prayer. And God so desperately wants to hear from you for mainly two reasons. I'm sure there's others, but mainly two reasons. Number one, because as we've already stated, He loves you so much that just like any time you're in love with someone, you want to hear love from them. And part of our fellowship with the Father is us doing what we already did this morning. You coming to the Lord and giving Him worship and adoration and praise and thanksgiving and expressing the love that you have for Him and your heart unto Him, because all the Father wants to do is to express the love He has for you in His heart unto you. And so He loves it when you come and express that love. That's the first reason for prayer. That's the first reason for worship, is for us to operate in a priestly role unto Christ and as a priestly role unto God, and go to the Lord in prayer with worship and praise and thanksgiving. But not only does God want us to pray, not only does He want to hear from us because He loves us, but He also, number two, wants so desperately to go to work in your life. I mean, He desperately wants to go to work in your life. And He says one of the key things to me going to work in your life is you have to ask. Ask. Just open up your mouth and ask. If you want me to go to work in your life, ask. You have not because you ask not. And literally, if we would just simply do more asking, we could see more results in this life. Imagine God's power at work in your marriage. You can have it if you ask. Imagine God's work going to work on your finances. You can have it if you ask. You can imagine God's power going to work in that business. You can have it if you ask. But it seems like a lot of people reserve prayer solely for emergencies or food. One of the two. You know, if it's an emergency, well, all we can do now is pray. Or food, well, we're good Southern folk, we better bless the food. And God is saying, no, lift up your voice to me in prayer. I want you to have a prayer life. You remember the prodigal son? You remember that story? Talked about it a little last week with the prayer of consecration. You remember that the father also had another son? And you remember the other son was at home living with the father, never did anything wrong, never did anything bad, was living with the father. And when the prodigal son came home and the father made such a big deal out of his son's arrival, and the other son came and said, Daddy, why in the world are you throwing a party for this son who went out and lived a riotous life, a life with harlots and prostitutes? Why in the world are you doing that? Where is my calf? Where's my ring? Where's new sandals on my feet? And what did the father tell him? He said, Son, all that I have is thine. What was he saying? If you want sandals, just ask for some sandals. If you want a coat, just ask for a coat. If you want a fatted calf, just ask for the fatted calf. Because all that I have is yours. And God's the same way with us. He's saying, look, I can do so much more for you if you would just do more asking. Now, there are other things you got to do, but this is what we're talking about today primarily. A lot of people just aren't asking God, petitioning God to go to work on their behalf enough. And friends, I want to encourage you to lift up your voice to God. If you can pull up those scriptures I gave you. I found these scriptures the other day. It's the three different scriptures. There are tons of them that are in the Bible, but these were just some that we're going to talk about soon, or we talked about already. But notice these in Ephesians 6:18, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. He says, praying, notice this, always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Do you see that first part? Praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Do you see a repetition here? You see God trying to build a pattern in your life? He's saying, I want you to come to me in prayer as much as you can. I want you to bow your knee in prayer as much as you can. I want you to have a time of devotion with me as much as you can, whether it's in your car, whether it's by the stove, whether it's taking your kids to school, whether it's coming to church, whether it's at church. I want you to pray as much as you can because I love you. And two, I want to go to work on your behalf. I read a book years and years ago, and I picked it up last night and started reading it too. It's a book by Lynn Hammond entitled The Master is Calling. It's a splendid book. And in it, she's talking about prayer, how the Master is calling us to pray. And she makes a statement in there. She said, God can change anything about you. God can change anything about you. And I think we could all readily agree with that, that God could change anything about our life. He's got enough power to do it. And she says, all he asks is for you to give him one thing. Time. Time in his presence. If you will take yourself over into prayer and give the Lord time, you will see the Lord go to work in your life. So what we're trying to do is to introduce prayer to you and to say that prayer is not just something that is reserved for emergencies and food, that there are many different types of prayer. And so last week we said, pray the prayer of consecration. That's a prayer you can pray every day. And we said, pray the prayer of faith. This is when you want God to change something. And then we said after that, pray the prayer of thanksgiving. Now, in my own personal life, for me as a pastor, obviously I should be praying a lot. I mean, it's kind of in the job description. You want a preacher, a pastor who prays. Trust me on that. And I went and just looked at my prayer life, and I see that, like I said last week, the prayer of consecration, it's a prayer that I try to pray every day. I try to start my day off with that prayer. Lord, I give you my life. But then after that, I've noticed that primarily my life revolves around the prayer of thanksgiving. See, there are many other types of prayers that I've prayed. I've prayed for other people. I've prayed for things. I've prayed for the church. I've prayed for the services. I've prayed for all these other things. But for those things, I've prayed the prayer of faith for. And like we said last week, with the prayer of faith, if you really believe God is answering that prayer, you don't go back and pray the prayer of faith again, right? You've already prayed for that. So what do you do after you pray the prayer of faith? You switch over to the prayer of thanksgiving. And with the prayer of thanksgiving, it's not, oh God, please help so-and-so. It's, Lord God, I thank you that you're at work in so-and-so's life. One of the prayers that I pray when I pray for other people is the same prayer that Paul prayed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 when he said, I pray God that he sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. And so I'll take someone, just say it's my wife, and I'll say, Lord, I thank you for Stephanie Sims. It's good to call people's name out in prayer. I thank you, Lord, for Stephanie Sims. And I thank you, Lord, you're at work in her life, helping her mind be strong. Help her grow in wisdom. Let light and revelation come to her mind. I thank you, Lord, for her body. And I thank you, Lord, it's healthy. I thank you, it's strong, vibrant, and full of life. Give it rest and peace. And I thank you, Lord, you're at work in her spirit, making it stalwart, making it strong, making it being able to stand against any attack of the enemy. Well, I pray that prayer literally almost every day for her. I pray it for a lot of others as well, and a lot of times we'll go into more detail. But it's not going back and praying the prayer of faith, because I already believe God's at work doing that. I'm just thanking him. His power is doing it. And so with this prayer of thanksgiving, it's going to make up a good bulk of your prayer life. And what I want to train you to do is that every time you think about so-and-so or you think about such-and-such, pray the prayer of thanksgiving. Chances are you should have already prayed the prayer of faith about it. But when that then comes to your mind again, whether it's in the car, you're thinking about that business deal, Lift up your voice and pray the prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, you're at work in that. If it's a husband who maybe is drifting away, you say, thank you, Lord, you're perfecting love between us. And even when you're at home and he's acting like he's not responding, just pray that prayer. Thank you, Lord. And don't pray it over him. Don't just come and make it all weird. But, you know, go in another room and just say, thank you, Lord, I thank you. Your power and your love is at work in this family. Pray the prayer of thanksgiving. With the prayer of thanksgiving, you don't stop praying that prayer until you see the answer realized. All right? With the prayer of thanksgiving, this is a prayer you keep on praying until you see with your eyes the thing materialize. Now, this is what I want to show you here in 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. We'll start in verse 36, where Elijah called fire down. And we talked about that, how sometimes when you pray the prayer of faith, God answers by fire suddenly, quick, miraculously, and it's a beautiful thing. And I want to show you this in context because the Bible is so amazing at how it does this. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all of these things at thy word. Hear me now, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water in the trench. Amazing, amazing. And we said this is why we always pray big, bold prayers, because we serve a God who wants to do big, bold things. But it's very interesting that the story keeps going here. And after the story, Elijah has another thing he is to do that day. Not only is he to pray and call down fire, but he is also to pray and ask the Lord to send rain. The country has been in a famine for 3 years. And when this country goes into a famine, it literally shuts down the economy. These people are in a recession, a depression. These people are in a place where times are very, very hard economically. And Elijah senses the call of God to make a change with this. And notice in verse 41, right after he calls down fire, it said, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now we're going to come back to that. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now and look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. All right, now I want you to see, and we've been talking about this in this series. Do you see how just a couple of verses before this, Elijah calls down fire, he prays and asks God to send fire, and fire falls. We all saw that, right? But here he's praying and asking God for rain, and he sends a servant up to go look to see if rain came, and the servant comes back and tells him, there is not even a cloud in the sky. Now, there are some times when you pray the prayer of faith, you're asking God to change things, that fire falls immediately and you see the results for what you're praying for. But there are other times where it looks like nothing happened. And when that happened, you don't stop praying, you switch over to the prayer of thanksgiving. Keep reading here and notice in verse 43, the servant came back and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And what that simply means is the following scenario took place 7 times. That 7 times the servant went up after Elijah prayed and came back and said, there's nothing. Elijah prays again. Go up and look. He goes up and look, comes back. There's nothing. He prays again, go up and look. He goes up and look, comes back and says, there's nothing. I'm sure around the fifth or sixth time, the servant wanted to tell Elijah, if you want to go look, you go look. But I am tired of walking up and down these stairs. But finally, after the end of the seventh time, verse 44, it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare the chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and with wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Now do you see how this story works? Elijah is praying for rain, but there is not a cloud in the sky after he prays. He prays for six more times, still no cloud. On the seventh time, the servant goes up, comes back and tells him, I saw a little cloud, just a little cloud. And Elijah realizes God is at work. And sure enough, by the time Ahab gets himself ready, the clouds are all over the place. They're heavy with rain and it begins to pour. Now, here's my point. What if Elijah, and we'll use the phrase we used last week, would have turned the switch of faith off? What if he would have said after the first time, you know, it just looks like this prayer stuff doesn't work. Or the second time, the third time, he said, you know what, I prayed and it just looked like nothing happened. So, you know what, I guess God just doesn't want to do it this time. Or here's my favorite. It just must not be God's will. Just must not be the will of God because we prayed and we didn't see anything. Now, once again, what God wants for you to do is to live by faith and not by sight. That regardless of what you see, you believe and trust Him anyway. And that's what the prayer of thanksgiving is all about. Thanksgiving is the highest expression of faith. Faith gets no higher than giving thanks before you see anything. And what I want to show you with this is that God is going to reveal Himself and His plan to you primarily through two ways. We're going to see these two ways in this story. Let's read the first one since we're right here by it in verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. Now, question, when he says this, was there a cloud in the sky? No. When he says this, it hadn't rained for 3 years. So how can he hear rain? He's not hearing it with his ears. He's hearing it in his heart. All right, now we're going to come back to that. But not only did he hear it and feel it in his heart, a sound and of an abundance of rain, but go over to verse 1. Go back to verse 1, 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1. And it says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So not only does he sense in his heart a sound of an abundance of rain, but he has also heard the word of God that says, there's coming rain. Go show yourself to Ahab, and I'm going to send rain upon the earth. Faith always begins where the will of God is known. And in your life, you're going to discern the will of God primarily through two ways, two avenues. The first place is through the Word of God. There will be times in your life and in mine where you're hearing the Word of God being preached, you're hearing the Word of God being explained, you're opening the Word of God in your own devotional time, you're listening to someone on TV and they're teaching the Word of God, and the will of God just drops in your heart. It's God's will for me to be well. It's God's will for me to be healed. It's God's will to help me. It's God's will to move in my life in that area. I can remember a couple of years ago, I felt impressed to go to a particular conference. And I went to this conference, and I was sitting in the back there. I always like to sit in the back in the balcony and, you know, that kind of deal. I don't know why. I like to see things, because oftentimes, well, you know, if they know you're a preacher, if they know you, then they'll try to bring you up, and then you get distracted with everyone playing politics all around you. And I like to just come and be an attender, just come and receive and praise and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I sit in the back and was just watching how things went on. And with this, the guy got up, the head speaker got up to do the what I thought was his message, but it turned out just to be the offering. I thought it was his message because it went at least an hour and a half. And so with that, he's doing the offering. And while he's doing it, he goes on a rabbit trail and talks about his ministry, how God showed him that it was the will of God for him to be debt free. And he went through and explained it through Scripture. I mean, I saw through Scripture, it is God's will for me to be out of debt. It is God's will. And I'm highlighting all the Scripture. I'd seen it before, but when he explained it to me, it opened it up. And I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you. Hopefully you have, but it just opened it up into my heart. And I came home and told my wife, I said, we are getting out of debt. I said, it is God's will for us to be out of debt. And we had some credit card debt. We had a car that wasn't paid off. And I told her, I said, we are going to believe God for these debts to be paid. Now, we also came up with a budget because I believe not only in depending on seeing what God can do, but I believe God works with us and not just for us. So God wants to work with you. So you do what you can do and let God do what he can do. So we implemented a new budget. We discerned that if we carried out the budget, we could be debt free in about 2.5 years. That's what we could do in our natural strength as far as owe no man nothing but to love him except for the house payment, which we're believing God for too. But anyway, with that, we started getting in faith and believing God that not only would we do what we could do in the natural, but we're also going to believe God to do what he can do in the supernatural. That's what prayer is all about. And so every day we'd open up our time of prayer together and we'd say, thank you, Lord, we are debt free in Jesus' name. We'd pull out our scriptures, could pray the prayer of faith that one day. We called a family meeting and said, it's God's will for us to be debt free. Let's pray and ask God to help us. And so every day after that, we'd give thanks. Thank you, Lord, this car is debt-free. Thank you, Lord, I owe no man nothing but to love him. Thank you, Lord, I'm the head and not the tail. You've delivered me from the borrower. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name that we are debt-free. And we went through all those scriptures praying the prayer of thanksgiving. Literally, in 4 months, we were debt-free. 4 months, the power of God came in glory. I don't know if you can get excited about it, but I can get excited about it. We saw the hand of God at work. Now, I could tell you many other stories of how that's worked in my life, where just out of the Word of God, I saw the will of God. And once you discern the will of God, you get in faith for it. And after you pray that prayer of faith, you give thanks until you see the thing materialize. Now, there are other things that you sense in your heart. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I heard someone say this a couple of days ago, and I thought it was so profound. And here's what they said. They said, when God desires for you to do something, he does not give you ambition. He gives you a burden. Now, I'll close with this. We'll center in and just sit down on this. He gives you a burden. Ambition can be negotiated with. When you have a personal ambition for yourself, it is desires that you have set before you, and you have decided to chase after those things, ambition. A burden is something more than that. It's a knowing in your heart you must do it, that it is not optional. You must do something there. I've had burdens in my life with all kinds of things where there have been people that I've met, and I knew my life is to play an integral role in theirs. And it doesn't matter how much I think it may interrupt my life, I know I'm called to them to help them do something. There have been other things, like with Poindexter, what this ministry is doing down there. It's not just a good little thing to do. It's not just a little outreach we're trying to put on. It's a burden. We know we are to be there, and we know we are to do so much more than what we're doing there with this church. I tried running from it. I mean, I slapped tried running from the responsibility of carrying this church. I mean, I tried running from it, but my heart wouldn't let me. I mean, I could go pasture anywhere. I mean, a church could open up in California and say, we'll pay you double what you're getting paid. And I maybe could go out there, but I tell you what, my heart is here. My heart would pull me back here because I'm not just called to pasture. I'm called to pasture this church. It's my lot in life. It's my divine assignment. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And so with that, it's something that God has called me to. And there are some things that God has called you to. And there are things that God has put on your heart to do. And you're never going to fulfill your burden, the call of God in your life, without God. You've got to pray and see it through unto the end. And with many, many people, what they do is they get in faith for a short period of time for it, for a short period of time. But for whatever reason, mostly due to the passage of time, but there are other reasons, but mostly due to the passage of time, they just simply back off from it. They simply just walk away from it. And they act like they never had that thing to begin with. And they miss out on the rain God wants to send in their life. They miss out on the wonderful moves and blessings of God. Friend, you got to understand that with you there in life, there is an enemy who wants to stop your progress. Paul said, a great door has opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. And with many things, and it's an old Pentecostal term, but it's the truth, you got to pray through those things. And that's not just a one-time deal. That's an everyday deal where you lift it up to the Lord in thanksgiving and prayer. A lot of people see this ministry and they forget, this is 10 years. It was not this 10 years ago. It was not this 10 years, not this 10 years ago. But we got to this place by much, much prayer. In the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, I really am closing with this, but like I said, I want to sit on it. Just want to sit on it. In the book of Genesis, Isaac had his father Abraham go before him. And back then, they needed water. It was critical. So they would dig wells. And Isaac's father, Abraham, had dug many wells where life was, where water was. And over the process of time, an enemy came in and filled up those wells. And Isaac thought that he was to move on, that he was to move from where he was over to Egypt, just give up on that territory. It looked like a famine was there, no water, how are you going to grow crops? And so he thought, we'll just pack up the business, I'll pack up the family, and I'll just leave. We'll just leave this. And he's getting ready to go, and the Lord comes and speaks to him and puts it on his heart that he's not to go. But instead, he is to plant, and not only plant, but he is to redig the wells of his father. And he went and redug those wells. Here's the problem, though. He dug the first one, and an enemy came and filled it up again. Because the enemy is always going to stop your progress. So he went to the third, went to the second, went to the third. Finally, he settled on a well where out of that well flowed forth life that prospered him and his family. I sense in my heart that there are some dreams, some sound of an abundance of rain that God has put on your heart at some season. And for whatever reason, the enemy stopped that well up. He came and poured in the sand, and you don't dream that dream anymore. And for whatever reason, it's been maybe for some of you years since you last prayed about that thing. And at one time, it was such a source of life to you, such a source of joy, such a source of vision. It was not just something that you came up with, but God put it on your heart that you could see that in your life. You heard it in here. You felt it in here. But the enemy came and and went to work on it. And for whatever reason, you're not dreaming as big as you once dreamed. You're not reaching as high as you once reached. And what God is saying is, just because it didn't happen overnight doesn't mean I didn't mean for it to happen. Keep praying. Pray the prayer of thanksgiving and get my power at work. And if you start on it and the enemy fills it up, you dig another well. You keep going after it. You go and look again. Even if all you see is a little itty bitty cloud, you believe my hand is at work. You believe that my power is present, and you will see an abundance of rain. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Father, we come before you today, and we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus for all of these people. We ask you, Lord, to bless them, increase them, let them walk in all of your best. With heads bowed, eyes closed all over this place, no one looking around. We'll make this short and sweet, but I want to make sure you're right with Jesus. Jesus loves you so much. We've had a wonderful service today, and I know you want to give your love to Jesus. So if you're here, and for either one of two things, I'm going to ask one of two things. If this is you, in a couple of moments, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Number one, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I'm talking about you don't know if time was to end right now, if you'd go to heaven or hell, and you say, in my heart, I want to know Jesus. I know I need to bow my knee unto him. I want to know Jesus. If that's you, in a couple of moments, not right now, but in a couple of moments, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Or secondly, you're here and you say, I know Jesus. I've known Jesus for a while. I'm a born-again Christian, a born-again child of God, but I am not walking with God. For whatever reason, I've walked away from him, and I want to rededicate my life today. I'm tired of playing religious games. I want to rededicate my life to him. For both of those questions, if either one fits you, if either one suits you, I'm going to ask you in a minute to raise your hand. The reason why I want to ask you to raise your hand is because Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before the Father. And so with this, it's between me, you, and God. I'm the man. You lift up your hand. Every other head is bowed. Every eye is closed. My head is up. My eyes are open. I want to see your hand. God wants to see your hand if that fits you this morning. So if that's you, with either one of those two things, lift up your hand. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. It's just between me, you, and God right now. Just lift up your hand, and I want to pray with you. Thank you. I see those three hands over there. Anyone else? Any other? We see those hands back there. Fourth hand. Anyone else? All over this place, God wants to move in your life. Thank you, Lord. See that hand right there. God bless you. See that hand right there. God bless you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, say this prayer with me, not just the people who lifted their hands, but everyone in here. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. You gave Jesus to die for me. I believe not only did he die, but on the third day, he rose again from the grave. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. My sins, they are washed away. All my mistakes, they're gone forever. You've forgiven me, so I forgive myself. And I say, my best days start right now in Jesus' name. Amen.